Good evening. Can we all stand? You turn to someone around you, tell them it's good to see him here tonight.
Welcome into this house. Magnify the Lord. Lift up holy hands. Our hearts in one accord. For he is worthy. He's worthy of all our praise.
Thank you.
if the sun says I will rise, and if dark clouds fill my sky, oh Lord, just know that I will always give you praise. And when trouble's on the way, Lord, I will always say, no matter come what may, I'll always give you praise.
Do that together tonight. Why don't you offer up a praise to the Lord? Come on and tell him how good he is. Thank him for another day. You woke up this morning. Come on, I think we can all do better than that. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. I bless you, Lord. And I give you thanks and I give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see all of you in the house of the Lord tonight. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. Why don't you turn around and just wave at somebody and tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you in God's house. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Thank you again. We want to announce to all of our parents with children that come Easter Sunday morning, we will be having, and we will kick off Sunday school Easter Sunday morning. So that's a good thing. Excited about that. So for all of you moms, I need you to listen up because I know dads. So moms, listen up. So nursery to preschool, they're going to meet in the hobby room. So if you have a child that is from nursery to preschool, you will bring that child to the hobby room. Moms, listen up. If you have a child from kinder to fifth, then they're going to go upstairs. All right? Did you get that? Okay. And we'll start announcing that, of course, this Sunday and then Wednesday night. And then next week, y'all, can you believe it? It's Easter. So here we are. That's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. So that's what we're doing. We're kicking off and then we'll just keep Sunday school rolling and try to just start adding some other things as we can. Alliance, they're going to have their youth retreat April the 16th through the 18th. Brother AJ Holloway is going to be their speaker, and that is $100. And if there's any parent that, you know, hey, if you're just, you need a little bit of help, I've already had some people come to me and say they want to help. So don't keep your child back because you think, well, maybe I can't afford that. There's some people that's already come to me and said, Pastor, we're willing to help. And so if you need a little assistance, we're happy to do that. And then Church in a Day, if you'd like to know more information about Church in a Day, that's a great program. And you can go out into the gym or you can see Brother Jason and he will help you. If our ushers would come tonight. Also, one other announcement, and that is the Alliance Envelope Raffle. There's more information in the gym, but again, if you were to pick up the envelope that says 45, that means they want you to put $45 in there, and then you get a chance to win a gift card to Nichols and a gift card to L2Can. So I know they would appreciate your assistance. And then I did not explain something as well as I could have explained it. And so I want to come back and try to explain it better. Okay. And that is when Trey goes to Kansas, he's actually going to be working for the school, Kansas State University. He'll be an employee of the school and he will be earning a living, but it's only going to be like a fourth of what he would be making as a regular doctor of veterinary medicine. But he's willing to just earn a fourth of his salary to get more education and to become a specialist. But he is going to be earning a salary, and his mom and daddy are excited about that. And now I'm joking. It's all good. But I just wanted to explain that a little better. So he's basically not so much going into a classroom setting as he is being a doctor under a doctor and is doing basically what's called clinical. So I just kind of wanted to clarify that. All right, everybody good? Thank you for your giving. May the Lord bless you. If you would, please remember Steve and Janet Maddox in your prayers. I know that Steve has gone through some surgeries and we just need to keep him lifted up. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for the great privilege to be in your house. And Lord, as we come to your house, it's an act of worship that we lift an offering to you. And thank you for both the gift and the giver. And Lord, we just remember Steve and Lord Janet and ask you to strengthen and touch them both in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Jesus, 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 what a wonder you are.
if you have your Bibles, would you get your Bible and would you go to the book of Numbers? And to our guest tonight, thank you for being with us in the house of the Lord. Just so that you know, many of our teachers, along with my wife, are out having a teachers meeting, getting prepared for Easter. And so that's where they're at. And of course, our youth go upstairs. So the rest of you are stuck with me. Bless your heart. Amen. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 33. And so what I'm doing is I'm kind of just... I'm thinking that most of you have at least a little bit of knowledge of the word. So I'm going to go right into this lesson without a whole lot of backstory. And if you're fairly new, then I would recommend that you read Numbers 13 so that you have a little bit more information. Okay? But for the sake of time, I'm not going to give a whole lot of the backstory. So let's go to Numbers chapter 13, and then let's look at verse 33. And it says this, "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." God bless you. You can be seated. So I'm just going to quickly give you the cliff notes of Numbers 13. This is when Moses had asked one tribe leader from each tribe to come together, 12 leaders from 12 tribes, go into this land, spy it out, come back and tell them what the land is like. When you read Numbers, you will find out that 10 leaders from the 10 tribes came in and gave what is labeled as an evil and a negative report. And two, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, "The land is good for us. We can conquer it. Let's go." 10 leaders said, "No, we can't. The people that we saw there were giants." And then here's the kicker. It says, "And when we saw ourselves, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight." So I want to talk tonight about identity change. And typically, I don't get up and promote a lot of the books that I read. But there are some books that I do get up and promote because they're so good, they're actually life-changing. There's very few books, and I've read hundreds and hundreds of books, that I can say are life-changing. This book has the potential to make that list. The name of the book is Atomic Habits by James Clear. I have underlined this book, and I'm going through it again. And I'm actually going to be speaking from this book tonight. This book has the ability to help you change your life. So I got the thought from the book and talking about identity change. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to answer the question, how did these men, how did they develop that identity that they saw themselves as grasshoppers? How does that come in? And then the next question I want to answer is, how can we change a negative identity in our life? Those are the two questions that I want to answer. So what I want to do is, you're going to feel like you're in a classroom tonight, so just stay with me. I want to start looking at the layers of change. And if they will help me, I want them to put something up on the screen that will identify. Can you see this? Okay. What I want you to see is there are levels of behavior change. Now, we're going somewhere and this has a spiritual application, but I need to lay the foundation tonight. So please stay with me. The first one is your outcomes. That's a level of behavior change that we want to know, what is this going, how's this going to turn out? What is my outcome? This is the results that you desire. That's one. The second one is, well, let me break this down before I go too fast. So the outcome, let's say the outcome, your outcome would want to be, I want to read the Bible through in 1 year. Okay? That's what I want to do. Or it could be, I want to lose weight. And tonight, I'm going to be talking about losing weight, not because any of you need to lose weight, just it's easy for you to identify with because most people do struggle with their weight. Not because I'm picking on any person, okay? This also would come under like, so I want to read the Bible in a year. I want to lose weight or I want to start a new business. That would be the outcome. Then the second layer of changing is you got to change your habits and your systems. So in other words, how many pages? For instance, I purchased a new Bible and it's a study Bible. And so what I did is I took this, it's a really thick Bible, and I took it and I saw how many pages were in it. And it's going to take me 2 years, about 4 to 5 pages a day to go through this Bible. So I've read through the Bible numerous times. Now I want to do something different. So that's my system. My system is 4 to 5 pages a day on this new Bible. It takes me about 45 minutes to an hour to do that every day. So that is a system. Why? Because I want the outcome. I want to have read every note, every page. I want to read it. I want to go through it. It's a different version than what I've been used to. So that is my system. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Okay. Then the third level of change is identity. That's who you wish to become. It's who you wish to become. So you have outcomes, then you have habits, and then you have who you wish to become. So the outcome may be, I want to lose 27 pounds. The process may be, I only eat 7 ounces of food a day. The identity, though, here is where I want to get to. The identity becomes, I want to be a healthy person. Now, here's the difference. Many people, myself included, we focus on what we want to achieve. We want to achieve losing 27 pounds. But we don't consider identity change when we set out to improve. Here's what I mean by that. Imagine, I'm not picking on anyone tonight, I promise you, using only examples. Imagine 2 people resisting a cigarette. One person says, no thanks, I'm trying to quit. The other person says, no thanks, I'm not a smoker. Now this may sound really close, but there is a difference. Because the first person is just letting you know, hey, get out of my way. I'm trying to quit. I don't need that. The other person is identifying as, no, I'm not a smoker. I hope you can see the difference. Now it is an identity. My identity is I'm no longer smoking. That's not who I am. So it's easy for me to say no. Does that make sense? Again, I'm not picking on anyone. What about a person that says, I want to be thin. I want to be thin. So it's easier when you identify that I want to be thin is to say, no, I will not eat that half gallon of Bluebell at 10 o'clock at night. Did that just make sense? Okay. See, most people set goals and determine actions without considering the beliefs that drive their actions. I'm going to say that again. Most people, they set goals, they determine their actions without ever considering the beliefs that drive their actions. They never shift the way they look at themselves. And they don't realize that their old identity can sabotage their new plans for change. I'm going to say that again. Their old identity can sabotage their new ideals for change. Let's go back now to Numbers chapter 13. Let's make this a spiritual application. There are 10 men. Their old identity, brothers and sisters, because they came from slavery. They were slaves in their mind, and yet, check this out. God freed them from their chains of slavery. Did he not? Broke the chains of slavery. Parted the Red Sea. Brought manna from heaven. Brought water out of a rock. Let their clothes grow on their back and their shoes on their feet. They saw the 10 plagues and the mighty power of God. They saw the miraculous. And yet, through all of the miraculous and through all God did for them, I'm sorry to say it, but it never broke the chains from their mind. It broke them from their wrist, but it didn't break them from their mind. And when they got into a pinch, what they did was is they went back to an old identity that says, how can we possess free land when we're nothing but slaves? And what God was trying to do in this transition is he was trying in this transition to get them to begin to identify not as old Egypt slaves, but as God's sons and daughters. Does that make sense? But what happened was, is they got rid of the chains from their wrists and their waist, but didn't get rid of the chains from their minds. Because they never could identify that, you know what, I used to be a slave, but that's not who I am anymore. That's where I came from, but that's not where I'm going. That is not who I am. And brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how important that it is that we begin to identify who we are as sons and daughters of God. That no matter where we have come from, that's who we used to be, but that's not who we are now. See, behind every behavior, there is a belief. Behind every behavior, there is a belief. Proverbs 23:7 backs it up. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, what somebody tells you. It helps, but you got to begin to believe it for yourself. Have you told somebody, you know, man, you're just so pretty, but they never could get it for themselves. They never could believe it. Or you told them, man, you're worth something. You got value, but all they could hear is their parents telling them that they'll never amount to anything. This is why, brothers and sisters, the Word of God is so important. It is so important because the Word of God helps to change one's identity. Can I get a witness? See, it's hard to change our habits if we never change our beliefs. See, it's one thing to say, I'm the type of person who wants this. Y'all got to catch this. I'm the type of person who wants this versus it's something very different to say, I'm the type of person who is this. Okay? True behavior change is identity change. And the spiritual application of this is huge. How would our behavior change if we really started identifying as a child of God? I'm going to give you an analogy. It goes back further than that, actually. Sissy adopted a little boy. And through the process, she actually changed his name, went through the court system, got an entire name change. And I got to thinking about that little boy. I don't know exactly where he came from, but here's what I do know. Because Sissy adopted that boy, and his new name is Asher, his whole identity now is changing. His identity is changing not only because she called him a new name, but she brought him into a new environment. And that young man, it's going to take him a while, right? because he don't understand what's happened. It's going to take Asher a while, but the day's going to come, if the Lord tarries, he's going to look back where he came from. And with just a little bit of insight, he's going to realize, I could be here. But because Sissy adopted me, changed my name, raised me in church, now here is where I am. Does that make sense? And we've got some others that have done the same thing. And just, it's amazing how the destiny of an individual can change because of a new identity, right? Being placed in a new environment, being given a new name. Here's the point that I want to make. When you read Ephesians 1 and 5, it says that we have been adopted as sons of God. When you keep reading the scripture, one writer tells us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You read another writer and he tells us that we are kings and we are priests before God. What is he trying to get us to do? He's trying to get us to see how he sees us. He's trying to get us to begin to change our identity, that we're no longer ex whatever, but now we are a child of God. We have royal blood flowing in our veins. And even though mama said, you're never going to amount to anything, God says, you're so valuable that I sent Jesus to the cross to die for you. And even though your boss says that you're a knothead, Jesus says, you're a priest before me. And even though your school teacher may have said, you're never going to amount to anything, the writer says that you are a king and you are a priest. We're talking about identity. Because when I start getting the right identity and I start seeing him as my father, then guess what starts happening? When I start coming to bumps in the road, I don't get nearly as nervous because I know he's a good father. And I know a good father loves to provide for his children. And then I go back to the scripture that reminds me, because I am a child of God, he's never seen the righteous forsaken. And he's never seen their seed begging bread. And God, you know what? Because I'm your child, then I know that my trust can be high and my anxiety can be low, because I'm identifying who my father is. Did that just make sense? Okay. So we are sons of God. Now, what if you start working on seeing yourself as an overcomer? And that starts being your identity. Then guess what? Fear now. Fear starts taking a back seat. Why? Because I see myself as an overcomer. And then when I come to a bump in the road, I'm not freaking out because he brought me through once. He's going to bring me through again. Then I start looking at my Heavenly Father as he's the healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. He will provide an offering. My Heavenly Father is going to see me through. He's going to make a way. That's who I identify with. I'm not identifying with parents that didn't speak life into me. I'm identifying with how God sees me. I'm not identifying with the situation that I'm looking at. I'm identifying with what the Word says. I'm going to come through this, that God's going to make a way. And so I'm going to keep speaking positive. I'm going to keep speaking what I want, not what I don't want. I'm going to use my mind and I'm going to use my mouth to help me to accomplish what his word says that I already am. Did that make sense? Okay. So true behavior change is really identity change. You start changing your identity. You might start a habit because of motivation. Somebody motivates you. You watch something, you see something, you get motivated, but you'll only stick with it if it becomes your identity. See, anyone can convince themselves to go to the gym once or twice, right? Anyone can convince themselves to eat a salad once or twice, correct? Pretty much anybody can do that. But if you don't move the belief behind the behavior, then it's hard to stick with long-term changes. Has that made sense? The same principle applies to our everyday life. So here's how it works. The goal is, man, I just need to say a prayer. That's not the goal. The goal is to become a prayer. The goal is not, well, I just need to read the Bible. No, the goal is I need to be a reader. There's a difference. The goal is I don't need to just learn an instrument. The goal is I need to become a musician. Your behaviors are usually a reflection of your identity. And so here's how it works. This is how it works. We say to ourselves, how many's ever said, well, I'm bad at remembering names? Okay. How many's ever said, man, me and technology just don't get along? Yeah, there's a couple. You know what's happening? When you keep repeating that story to yourself for years, it's easy to begin to accept it as a fact. Because you keep telling yourself. And in time, you begin to resist certain actions. Why? Because that's not who I am. So somebody says, hey, can you do this for me? Oh, that's a smartphone. I'm not good at technology. I can't do that. Hey, remember this name. Oh, no, I'm horrible at remembering names. So, no, don't ask me to do that. So what we start doing is we start backing up because what we've said to ourselves over and over is I'm not good at technology. I'm not good at remembering people's names. I'm not good at this and I'm not good at that. And therefore, that starts to become your identity. And the more deeply a thought or action is tied to your identity, the more difficult that it is to change. And this is a big barrier to positive change at any level. Why? Because now if you identify, I'm not good with technology, you're not going to press yourself to get good. You've identified with, I'm not good at it, so I back away from it. Has that just made sense? No one in here was born with a preset of beliefs. I'm going to say that again. No one in this room was born with a preset of beliefs. Every belief, including those about yourself, is learned and it is conditioned through experience. It is learned and it is conditioned through experience. For an example, if you make your bed every day, you know what you begin to tell yourself? I'm an organized person. I'm an organized person. If you sweep your floors every day, you know what you tell yourself? I'm a clean person. And you begin to believe that's part of your identity. I can tell you right now, part of my identity is cleanliness. You know why? Because I pretty much sweep our wood floors almost every day. Because cleanliness is one of my values. It's part of my identity. Now, you can take that and you can begin to do that in the spirit. The more you repeat a behavior, the more you reinforce the identity. Whatever your identity is right now, you only believe it because you have proof of it. For example, if you read your Bible every day, then you have evidence that you're studious. If you go to the gym even when it's raining, then you have evidence that you're committed to fitness. The more evidence that you have for a belief, the more strongly you're going to believe it. I didn't start out as a reader. My dad asked me, he said, Wayne, would you read this book? And if you'll read this book, I'll pay you $10 and if you'll give me a one-page report for it. I never did get $10. Never. I never got $10. But somewhere along the way, I started reading. And the more I read, the more I wanted to read. And I have become an avid reader. Now, a good day is when I'm just kind of by myself reading a good book, reading the Word. I love that day. Why? Because that's part of my identity. Because I just kept doing it over and over and over. Now I want to start getting to some good stuff here. So many Christians think, brothers and sisters, that when they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that they have been issued a diploma. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what you got was a birth certificate. You say, how does this tie in? I'm going to tell you how it ties in. Because a lot of preachers have run off a lot of good people because they expected them to change overnight. And most people can't handle change overnight. You don't have to agree with that if you don't want to. That's fine with me. I'm here to tell you how many of you can raise your hands and say, I changed overnight. Most of us change little by little by little. Right? I know I'm bucking up against some old theology here, but the scripture, brothers and sisters, it talks about that we change from glory to glory. Right? It's a process. It's not that God can't change us overnight. It's that most of us can't handle change overnight. And this is why we need to be long-suffering and patient with people. Because if we will be long-suffering and patient with people, the more we can get the word in them, the more their identity begins to change. And now they don't start thinking that, you know, I am this. They start seeing themselves in a new identity. I'm not an old slave and a slave to old sin. Now I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Why? Because I am an adopted son. Hallelujah. I am valuable as a child of God. Does that make sense? See, as you learn the word of God, this is why it's so important. I harp on this a lot, but the nightly news is not going to help change you. It's going to help depress you. A lot of social media is not going to help change you. It's going to make you mad because it's a lot of junk on there. But this Bible will help change you. It will be, if you get it in your mind, here's what the scripture says, Romans 12:2. Be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. When you got the Holy Ghost, see, this is what people don't understand. When you get the Holy Ghost, what changes is your spirit, but your flesh don't change and your mind don't change. That's why you can get the Holy Ghost and go still cuss like a sailor. You say, how is that possible? Because what's possible is the word hasn't gotten to your mind yet. Your spirit is renewed, but your mind isn't. You haven't started thinking like Christ yet. This is why, brothers and sisters, the word of God is so powerful. It's powerful, and this is why I encourage you. Don't turn the TV on first thing in the morning. Give those golden minutes to God. If it's nothing but a 10-minute devotion, read a devotion. Get scripture in your mind so it can start setting your day. So you don't start walking out the door because you stubbed your toe and think, man, this is going to be a bad day. Don't start thinking that. Don't set yourself up because you stubbed your toe. Oh, I know it's just going to be one of those days. No, it's not. I'm not mad. I'm passionate. The most practical way to change who you are is to change what you do. And you start changing your story. You say, so here's the next part, and we're going to wrap this up. How can I change my identity, Pastor? How can I do it? First of all, you have to decide the person you want to be. When I bring people into my office, I'm going to give you some things that I give people. You ready? They say, well, Pastor, I'm confused. I don't know this. I don't know that. Here's what I do. One of the first things I do is say, okay, I want you to picture yourself as an 85-year-old man or an 85-year-old woman. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to picture yourself as an 85-year-old man and an 85-year-old woman. Tell me, what does that look like? And most of them look at me like you're looking at me. Well, what do you mean? All right, here's what I mean. What have you accomplished with your life? Where are you at 85? So I'm going to tell you what this looks like for me, okay? Just to give you an example. At 85, if the Lord tarries, I want to be on a back porch in Conroe, Texas, overlooking the lake, holding Janet's hand, having always been faithful to her. I won't fill in the other details, but there are other things that I want to accomplish. So you say, why is that important? Here's why that is important. Because if you can see the end, then you start working from the end, from where you are to where you want to be. Does that make sense? See, y'all, here is why God doesn't get upset with you. Here's why God doesn't get upset with you. Are you ready for this? Because God sees the glorified you. He sees, the Bible says, the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. Correct? Right? So what he does is he sees the glorified you. The glorified you. And so then when you mess up, he doesn't freak out. Because he already sees the end results. Now, if you can begin to see the end results of your life as an 85-year-old man or a 90-year-old person, and what have you accomplished and what have you done? What does your marriage look like? What does your relationships look like? What do your children look like? What do your grandchildren look like? What have you accomplished? What books have you written? What degrees have you earned? How do you look? How fit are you? Then you can start working your way back to becoming the person that you see. That is all about identity. When you start saying to yourself, so the other day I was in an airport and there was a lot of stairs, and then they have these things on conveyor belts, right, that transport you. But because I'm saying I'm a healthy person, with my satchel, I took all the stairs and I didn't go on the conveyor belt. I walked the whole way. Doesn't make me better than anyone else. It just means part of my identity is I want to be a healthy person. And so guess what? You choose the salad over the burrito. You choose to walk instead of take the cab. But you have to learn who you identify with. What is my identity? Who am I? If you don't know the why, how doesn't even matter. What do you mean by that? If you don't know why you want to lose 27 pounds, then how to lose it doesn't even matter. You have to identify that I am a healthy person, that I am going to be a thin person, or I'm going to be whatever that may be. Your identity is so important. No, I don't do that because that's not who I am. I do this because this is who I am. And when you don't understand that identity, then you're going to try to do something, but you don't have a big enough why, and you don't see yourself as that. And so this is why people fall flat on their face and don't accomplish their goals. Did that just make sense? Okay. So, how, Pastor, do I change my identity? And I'm going to wrap this up. Number one, you got to understand, what do I stand for? What do I stand for? I could do another 30 minutes without ever taking a breath on what are my values. I cannot stress to you enough, learn what your values are, because your values begin to identify you. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Okay, again, just using myself, sorry, but here we go. Number one value, I am a Christian. Since I am a Christian, what does that mean? That means every day I try to give time to God in prayer. I try to read His Word. I try to have the fruit of the Spirit in my life because I want to be a Christian. I want to identify as a Christian. My second value is as a husband. I want to be a good husband. What does that mean? I want to put Janet's needs before my own. I want to love her as Christ loved the church. Have you always done it? No, I failed at it. But that's who I want to become. I'm doing better. I want to be a good father. That's my third value. You see where I'm going? That's my identity. So when I'm 85, I pray that Trey and Molly and their spouses and siblings are loving me and sitting on my lap, and I'm taking them in a barge on Lake Conroe because that's where I want to retire. I'm already seeing it. Does that make sense? So what does that mean? It means that I'm doing everything I possibly can to develop good relationships. And now that Brooke's coming in the picture, I want to develop a good relationship with her because I want my grandbabies to love me. What does it mean, y'all, when I face temptation because I'm a man? It means I go back and remind myself I want to be a good husband. And God, help me to stay pure in my thoughts and pure in my life. Does that make sense? When you start understanding who do I want to be? What do I stand for? What are my values? What do you wish to become? What do I wish to become? What do I wish to become? Ask yourself, who is the type of person? You ask yourself questions. Questions are one of the most powerful things you can ask yourself. It's one of the most powerful things in the universe. A question. Who is the type of person that can lose 40 pounds? Ask yourself that question if you want to lose weight. Who's the type of person that can lose 40 pounds? Ask yourself this. Who is the type of person who could pray 30 minutes a day? Who is the type of person that can run a successful startup? And once you have a handle on the type of person you want to be, then you begin to take small steps to reinforce your desired identity. Does that make sense? So then you ask yourself, what would a healthy person do? Ask yourself, what would a healthy person do? Would they eat a burrito or would they eat a salad? They'd eat a salad. What would a healthy person do? What would a financially secure person do in this situation? What does a person that wants to have great relationships do in this situation? What would a person that wants to have a great marriage do in this situation? Does that make sense? You need to know who you want to be. Now, as I close this, that's one reason, brothers and sisters, that Celebrate Recovery, when John Baker first started Celebrate Recovery, he didn't ask people to identify themselves by their addictions. Many of you don't know this, but Celebrate Recovery knows this. Instead, in Celebrate Recovery, participants each identify themselves as believers who are struggling with. In AA, they say, I am an alcoholic. They're identifying as an alcoholic. In Celebrate Recovery, we don't say I'm an alcoholic. We say I'm a fellow believer struggling with alcohol. You say there's not much difference. There's a world of difference. Because now I'm not identifying that I am an alcoholic. I'm identifying that I am a believer, but I still have some struggles. That makes sense? See, there's a huge difference, and I'm going to wrap this up. But your identity isn't your sin. Your identity is your Savior. I'm going to say that again. You can't say, oh, I sin, so I'm a sinner. No, don't let that be your identity. My identity is my Savior. My identity is who God says that I am. Because God is not looking at your failures. He's not counting your flaws. He isn't logging your past sins. When God looks at you, He looks at you as a child of God. So when I sin, and I have sinned since I become a preacher, I'm sorry to tell y'all that. I haven't always been perfect. But when I sin, even to this day, I don't come in and say, oh my God. I come in and say, God, I am your child. And Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't do it right. But I'm not going to run from you. I'm going to run to you. Because I know that you love me. And I know that you're my Savior. And I know what you did for me on the cross. My identity is not a sinner. My identity is I am a child of God. Does that make sense? So that means this. If God sees you as a child of God, God sees you as acceptable. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're acceptable. Tell him. Come on, you can do better than that. I'm going to keep preaching. Oh, you can do better than that. I'm going to preach another 15 minutes. You're acceptable. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that your self-worth and your net worth are not tied together. It means that you can be as poor as Job's turkey and be rich in Christ. Come on, somebody. It means you didn't come in here literally with a dollar, but you're a poor, poor rich man. Why? Because you know the Savior and you've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. You identify as a child of God. He accepts me. I'm valuable, not because I'm driving whatever. Would you stand to your feet? You may have come here in a Bondo buggy. It doesn't matter. You're still valuable. You may not have 2 cents to rub together tonight. It doesn't matter. If you know Christ, you're still valuable. Guess what? You're still lovable. You say, Pastor, my mama told me that I was a knothead. Nobody had ever loved me. That's not true in God's book. So you don't have to earn it. And I have to remind myself, because I'm a perfectionist. I have to remind myself, God, it's not about what I do. It's about what you've done. It's not about my perfection. It's about what you did for me at Calvary. I don't have to earn this. I received this. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he did for me. Does that make sense? Here's the next thing. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. Your faults never surprise God. When you mess up, God's not like, oh, I can't believe Erica did that. Mm-mm. God, don't say that, Erica. He already knows the end from the beginning, and because he sees us as glorified, he doesn't freak out when we don't measure up. He loves us. God sees you as capable. You're not an accident. Look at your neighbor and tell him that. Tell him you're not an accident. Tell him you're not an accident. God created you for a purpose. Pastor, how do you know that? Because Philippians tells me I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Amen. So what has been your point tonight, Pastor? What have you tried to get over to us? What I've tried to get over to you is how you can change your identity through the Word of God. Y'all, if I go to that gym tomorrow and I lift weights, am I all of a sudden going to look muscular? No. If I pick this Bible up in the morning and I read 5 chapters, am I all of a sudden going to become a scholar? No. But if I keep working out, eventually you're going to see a difference. And if I keep reading the Word, eventually I'm going to go from a student. I'm going to keep growing. My mind's going to start changing. Ha! I'm not going to start slipping back into those old mindsets that I'm just a grasshopper and I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve it, right? But thank God he didn't give me what I deserve. I am a child, and because I am a child, he wants to bless me because he's a good father. He wants to bless me coming in and going out. He wants me to be the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. He wants me healed in my mind, soul, and body. Does that make sense? Why? Because I'm identifying not where I've come from, but where I'm going. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the seed of your word, because I know a seed is powerful, and I pray that it be planted deep within, Lord, the fertile soil of this church. It is so important on how we see ourselves and who we identify with. Lord, help us to see ourselves as adopted sons and daughters, as children of the Most High. You're a good father, and you want to supply all of our need according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Help us to see ourselves as forgiven. Help us to see ourselves as capable. Help us to see ourselves as valuable. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. If you would, put your hands up and say, Lord, help me to receive this word. Come on. Tell him all over this house, Lord, help me to receive this word. As Sister Kaylee sings, come on, put your hands up and say, Lord, help me to receive this word, God. Let this word get into my spirit. Lord, I want to begin to see myself the way you see me. I want to see myself the way you see me. Yes, Lord.
Who the sun sets free, Lord, is free.
I love you. Have a great night. We're going to have a great weekend.
Who the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed.
for me, kid.
Because Addison comes,
She said, okay. I said, put me and Connie can watch the other two. So sometimes I ask her new car moving. Sometimes she says, I'm here. I said, and the other is Jenna and her mama.
Miss Chris, for 3 days.
The other is Jenna and her mama and Tracy Potter. I said, I feel like Jenna would be comfortable with her.
Oh, it is.
I said, so if you put those two together, instead of doing them once a month and do twice a month, she's totally okay.
I didn't know if she would. Well, I mean, obviously, I can't bring it upstairs, so.
No, no.
Okay.
I brought Hudson in Sunday school in there, so long.
Even when I bring mine, I don't talk to mine loose
about. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Brunson.
I got you covered.
Thank you. Me and Caitlin. She said to us.
Yeah,
it makes
exactly.
It easy in the
morning. Did you get it without getting wet? Is it raining still?
Yeah, it's sprinkling. So I just turned up to the time.
Who's on where? We get to choose.
I'm sorry. Post the link.
I just went right now, or if I come by the window, slow down.
We're putting up some handrails out there. Actually, a building office. And I told Hank, I said, do we need to call on our QC here? We want to x-ray these wavers. He's doing some welding. Yeah, he might shear waving, but he ain't going to x-ray. I don't even know if he knows what shear waving is.
There you go. Had a way of doing it.
Why worry about you?
We live in
Yeah.